the Lord. Woo! Man, it's been a good week, man. Everybody appreciate this week? Amen. You know, every day is a good day with Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. And busting that snow. Man, you know. Praise God. It's all good. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning and turn in your Bibles to Amos. Going back over to Amos again today. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. Amos 9, 11 through 12. Amen. God is good. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. On that day. Everybody say, on that day. And repair, restore. You know, this is a year of restoration. Amen. God is just doing some marvelous things when it's concerning restoration. I'm going to restore, I'm going to repair, restore its damages, and I'm going to raise up its ruins. And when God restores, it's always with quality and quantity, right? So I'm going to rebuild it as the days of old, that it may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. That would be us. All the Gentiles, notice this, all the Gentiles. This is a prophetic voice of God speaking into the future, which is now the present we're living in. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does these things. Let's hold up our Bibles and let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to three people today and say, are you in balance? Come on, would you say that? Are you in balance? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray you are. Amen. I pray you are in balance this morning. I want to really talk to you about being balanced today. This is what my message is, but there's so much in this I'm going to try to bring out today. I don't know if I can get it all out, but the Holy Spirit can. And I pray that he just opens your ears right now, amen, as we just confess that he opens our minds and that we're able to receive the word of God. So this is a prophecy taking place, and God is restoring. What God is saying is, I'm restoring the tabernacle of David. I'm restoring the tabernacle of David, and the tabernacle of David is a picture of the body of Christ that is coming out from a mixture of law and grace into pure grace. So it's really a prophetic word. He says, I'm going to restore, I'm going to repair the damages. Religion can do a lot of damage. Religion can mess you up. People that are religious can mess you up. Just saying, amen. And what God is saying here is I don't want you to be messed up. I want to restore to my church grace. I want to restore this message of my unconditional love and my grace towards the body of Christ. And the reason that he's doing that is because that is the heart of God. That is God's heart, that we worship him out of pure grace and that we're balanced in life. God wants us to be balanced. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be balanced. And in the tabernacle of David, there's two tabernacles. The tabernacle of Moses, we'll talk about in a bit, but the tabernacle of David. In the tabernacle of David, the Ark of the Covenant was center, and it represented Jesus Christ. You see, we want Jesus in the center of our life. If we're going to be balanced, Jesus has got to be the center. God has got to be the center. He's got to be the center of our life. You know, and when I talk about the Ark, I'm not talking about, you know, I know we live in Indiana, but I'm not talking about Indiana Jones. Just want to let you know. And the Ark, the Lost Ark? Was that the name of that movie? But it's about God restoring people to the center. And the center of God, the center of the Bible, is Jesus Christ. He needs to be the center of our life. Amen? And if you want to be balanced in life, and if you want to have a good life, then you got to have Jesus at the center of your life. So the world seems to be lopsided right now. Have you noticed that? Turn to somebody and say, don't be lopsided. God doesn't want you lopsided, man. Amen. But the world seems to be lopsided. Everything that's going on, and all the political upheaval and everything going on in the world, and the wars and rumor of wars and all this stuff, the world really seems to be lopsided, but God is still balanced. God is still balanced. Amen. I am so thankful God is balanced. Thank God that He is. Amen. The universe would have planets colliding today if God wasn't balanced. But this whole thing is working because God is a balanced God, and He wants our lives to be balanced in Him. God's desire for your life is to be balanced with Jesus being the very center of your life and everything revolving around Him. Turn to somebody and say, that's really good. He wants your home to be balanced. Listen to me. He wants your work life to be balanced. He wants all of your family to be balanced. He wants your finances to be balanced. Nothing worse than an unbalanced checkbook. Come on, somebody. He wants everything to be balanced in your life. Amen. So God's desire is to be for you to be balanced. Listen to me this morning. Have you ever driven a car that had an unbalanced tire? Raise your hand if you've ever driven a car. You know, man, that is one of the worst things. Thump, 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 thump. You know, you're trying to, and the steering wheel's going like this. Anybody ever do that? You know, I remember when I was in college. Now, you gotta go way back, because I was telling Holly this morning, I counted up. I have been in 7 colleges. You'd think I'd learn by now, wouldn't you? Come on, think about it. 7 colleges. I have attended 7 different colleges. Thank God I finally got, I think I've got 3 degrees. I've got a Bachelor of Arts, I've got a Master's in Leadership Development, and I've got a Karis Bible College degree. So, woohoo, right? So, man, you'd think I'd be learned by now, right? So, but when I was in college way back in the day, I had a 1964 Ford Falcon 2-door. Man, I wish I had that car today. It was such an awesome little car, right? It was dark forest green, black interior. Column on the tree. Anybody remember that? 3 on the tree. Come on, yeah, right? Yeah, shift like this, you know. Some of you would never remember that. 1964. I paid $465 for that car. It was awesome. Praise God. And I'd left college that morning at the dorm. I was going somewhere, and I left the dorm that morning, and I had a flat tire when I was out. And so, you know, I got in the trunk, and I got the spare out. Thank God I had a spare. It was up. I put the spare on my car, right? And so I tightened the lugs. I put the hubcap back on. Anybody remember the hubcaps? Right? I put the hubcap back on. You know, here I go driving to school, man. I'm just clicking along. I'm almost to school. All of a sudden, that left front goes down. I go, whoa, and I hear just grinding. Left front falls down, right? And I look out the window, and there goes that tire past me. I'm going, man, and I just slid off to the side of the road. I thought, oh, I couldn't believe it. I didn't tighten the lugs enough, right? So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And so I was just praying, and I walked down about a half a mile down the road. I said, Lord, help me find this tire, right? And then how am I going to find the lugs, right? What good is the tire without the lugs? So I walk a half mile down the road, and sure enough, there it is off the side of the road. And I look, the hubcap is still on. And when I pick it up, I shake and rattle it, and all the lugs are still in the hubcap. That's when you thank God for hubcaps. There was a reason for them, right? And all the lugs. So I wheel it back down, jack up the car, put it back on, make sure I've got it real tight, right? And I got it real tight and drove off to school. But I'm telling you, it's an experience when you see your tire going this way and the car's going that way. It's like, man, you know. But God really wants us to be balanced. Listen to this. He says over here, he says, in the day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. He's going to raise up the tabernacle of David. Amen. He's going to do that. Amen. It's just a beautiful thing. And he says this. He said, on that day, I'll raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'll repair it and rebuild the ruins and rebuild it as the days of old. Now look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. So God is doing this. God is raising up the church. God is restoring grace to the church. The church has always been grace. But man came in with religion and made it a mixture of grace and law. But God's intention for the church is always to be a church of God's grace, to always be a place of accepting all people from all lifestyles, that they may receive the blessing of life, Jesus Christ. And he said here that they may possess the remnant of Edom. The remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who will call by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. The remnant of Edom, what is that? The mention of Edom calls to mind Obed and Edom. Obed and Edom was an important character in that story of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. The Ark had been captured. David went out with his mighty men. They captured the Ark, and they were bringing it back to Jerusalem to set it up in the tabernacle of David. So you had the tabernacle of Moses, and you have the tabernacle of David. But if you remember the story, along the way, as they were carrying the ark, they put it in a cart, and it was carried by oxen. And all of a sudden, you know, the oxen stumbled, right? And Perez reached out Uzziah, and he touched it and to steady it, and he died. Anybody remember that story? So they took the ark. They took the ark, and they put it in Obed-Edom's house. And it was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. Man, and while it was there, Obed-Edom and his entire family was blessed with God's favor. Man, amen. You see, God wants to bless you, but God not only wants to bless you, but he wants to bless your entire family. And when Jesus is in the center of your life, you cannot help but experience the blessing and the overflow and everything that God has with that, because you put Jesus in the center and he is the attraction of your life. Man, he's my attraction. I mean, Holly's beautiful, but Jesus is my attraction. She said, yay. Amen. So the remnant of Obed-Edom, this is what God is saying to us. He wants to put favor on our life. When we put Jesus in the center, blessings begin to flow in our lives. Favor begins to show up in our lives. Things begin to come back to us that we've lost because of God's favor and Jesus in the center of our life. Amen. When Jesus is in the center, you cannot help but be blessed. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. So what happened before that took place, we know that, you know, Perez Uzzah, you know, it was that incident. It's over in Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Let's look real quick there. Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. And David became angry because the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. So I recounted the story where he put his hand out to steady that cart, right? And all of a sudden, God killed him right there on the spot. Woo! That's not a very good thing, right? What was going on? What was it representing? What was happening? What was going on? God gives us instructions, right, for a balanced life. God has a way of doing things, but our nature at times has a way of doing our own thing. Like, you know, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, I did it my way, and now the end is near. Da, da, da. Well, that's a lie, but anyway, amen. We have a tendency out of the flesh to do things our way. Amen? And we get out of balance at times. And this is exactly what happened. First of all, God did not tell them to carry the ox by a cart. The ark was supposed to rest upon the shoulders of the priest, right? But David put it on a cart, and God didn't tell him to do that. And so they're trying to do things, you know, out of the strength of their own flesh instead of out of the spirit. And when you start to do things out of the strength of your own flesh, you're going to fail. Every time. Amen? Every time. So David transported the ark here, and he called the place Perez Uzzah. Now, it's really interesting because Uzzah means strength in the Bible. So evidently, this man was a very strong man, but when he did things out of character or out of the flesh, he became, well, not only weak, but died. So we don't want to be doing things out of the flesh. We want to be doing things out of the Spirit. We don't want to be doing things out of our carnal old nature because we've got a new nature in us. Amen. The Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? Come on, new. So there's a new you in you. Let me say that again. There's a new you in you. You've got a new identity in you. So you don't have to do things the old way, out of your own strength. You see, religion is about doing it out of your own strength. It's about trying to please God, trying to get something from God out of your own strength. But God didn't want you doing that. We have the Spirit of God living within us now, amen? And we're not of the flesh any longer. We are of the Spirit. Come, somebody say amen to that. Praise the Lord. So many times the reasons our life get out of balance is we try to do things our way. And David, he called, instead of calling it Uzzah, when that happened, he called this place the breaking of strength. The breaking of strength. You know, when we're at our weakest, God is at his strongest. And look at John 15:5. John 15:5, what does this say? It says, I am the vine, you are what? The branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, and without me, guess what? You can't do anything without Jesus. If you're going to be successful in life, you've got to have him at the center of your life. If you're going to see things progress in your life, you've got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. And when we place our trust in our own strength, we open doors to failure. I don't know about you, but I want to open doors to success. I want to open doors to prosperity. I want to open doors to peace, not failure. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:6. Look what it says. Look at this. Man, this is awesome. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:6. Amen. For when we were still without strength, the Bible says, in due time. Everybody say due time. Christ died for the ungodly. You know when Christ saved you? When you were without strength. You know when Christ redeemed us? It's when we were without strength. And when we were without strength, amen, that's when God was able to come in and save us. When we said yes to the Lord, have you ever been to that place where you were just like, oh, yes, Lord? Anybody besides Pastor? Well, you just go, oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Not me, Jesus, but you, Jesus. Amen. Look at Romans 6:14. Amen. Romans 6:14. Do we have that, brother? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What religion does is it makes you want to do it out of your own strength. But what grace does, it comes in and says, no, I've got this. I've got you covered. Grace has got us covered today. Amen. And every time you come to God, you rebalance your life. Every time you just focus on him, your life gets balanced. It gets better every time. And when you receive it, amen, in his life, restoration takes place. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the Tabernacle of David on Mount Zion, you know, people were still worshiping God at the Tabernacle of Moses in Mount Gibeon. Here, the furniture of the Tabernacle of Moses was there. Everything was set up that was there. But you know what was missing? The Ark. And people were still worshiping there out of religious habit instead of worshiping where God was and the Ark was at the Tabernacle of David. We can get so caught up in religious dues at times that we forget. Turn to somebody and say, don't worship out of habit. Just worship out of pure Jesus. Amen. Just worship out of pure Jesus. Hallelujah. Here they were worshiping, and God wasn't even there. Man, that's not a good place to be. You know, they're worshiping, they're going through the motions and all these things, and yet God was over here in the tabernacle of David. You can have all the religious activities, but not have Jesus. Oh, say that again, Pastor. I will. You can have all the religious activities and not have Jesus. They're going through all the religious activities, but God was there with David in the tabernacle of David. Amen. You know what the main characteristic of the tabernacle of David was? First of all, it was approachable. Because in the tabernacle of Moses, you couldn't go in. In fact, a high priest could go in only once a year. But in the tabernacle of David, it was approachable. But not only was it approachable, not only was God approachable, and this is what grace is all about. God is approachable. Whoo, I am so glad. Amen. But the tabernacle of David, David was a man after who? God's own heart. What was David known for? David was known for writing most of the Psalms. David was known as a musician and worshiper. Amen. And the Bible says, we bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. Amen. And there was a veil between the people and the Holy of Holies. There was a veil there. But thank God that Jesus cut the veil in two. And now we can go right into the presence of God and don't have to go through all this religious ceremony, but we just go directly to Jesus. Can somebody say amen for that? Amen. Look at over Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. It says, therefore, brethren, having a boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. His flesh was ripped that you and I may go into the Holy of Holies. And how do we go in? You don't have this scripture, but I want to show you this. It's not going to be up here, but I just want to add this today. Hebrews 4:16. This is how we go in full of grace. Let us therefore come boldly. You do have it, brother. You are so good. I am amazed. Let us therefore come how? Timidly, out of fear, out of regret, out of, oh my gosh, I blew it. No, no, no. Listen, we come boldly to what? The throne of judgment? No, no. The throne of God's wrath? No, 1,000 times no. We come boldly to the throne of favor, God's grace upon our lives. When we come into the presence of Jesus, we have the favor and grace of God covering our lives now. And because of the favor and grace of God covering your life now, you're his favored. Hallelujah. You're his blessed today because of his grace. And what does he say? How do we come? Not only through the throne of grace, man, but that we may obtain mercy. Anybody ever need mercy? Anybody ever need mercy? Man, we come to the throne of mercy and find even what? Grace, more grace to help us win in the time of need. We were teaching the class this morning, Discovery class, and we're talking about what kind of church is Discovery Church. And I said, we are a church, basically, we are a church that receives all people without judgmental, without being judgmental. Whether you're tattooed, pierced, hello, you got body art, you're black, white, brown, red, polka dot, we love you. Amen? You know why? Because Jesus loves you. This is not an exclusive place. This is a place where people come to find realness and not fakeness. Y'all need to be a part of that class. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe in genuine grace and operating in God's love and God's grace. We believe that God's word and God's grace changes lives forever. Amen. We don't believe in judging people or condemning people. We believe in loving people, and the love of God is what changes the life of people. Amen. Oh, you can do better than that. Amen. We believe the love of God is what changes the life of people. Woo! You know why? It changed me. Amen. It changed me. I'm a witness. It changed me. It changed you. Praise God. I was telling them this morning, when I was first saved, I didn't know anything about God. I was raised a heathen kid, and when I was first saved, my brother started attending a Pentecostal church. Now, if you've never been to a Pentecostal church, and you've never really been to church, and the church you were at before, if you ever went, was very conservative and very quiet. And I walked into this little Pentecostal church, and I was like, whoa! They're like, woo! Shouting and running, speaking in tongues. And I'm like, whoa! I had an old sister up banging the piano. I'll fly away, oh glory. And they were doing the double beat. It's like, whoa! I was like, man, where's the back door when I get out of this place? I was like, freaking out. Whoo! It's like, man, what is going on here? But you know what? Next Sunday, I was back. You know why I was back? It wasn't because of all that. It's because of the love of the people. A 17-year-old kid that just lost his dad. They loved on me that Sunday, hugged me, welcomed me. I thought, man, you know, I looked past all that, and finally I became one of those. And God called me into the ministry. I went to that church, I think it was in August, and I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and God called me in the ministry that same month. And I preached my first sermon, that was in 1971, and I preached my, man, that's 50, how long? 50, 51 years? Man, I look good. Jesus petrified me. Wow. Man, that's unbelievable. I got to think about that a second. 51, are you sure? You sure it's not 21, babe? 51 years. And I preached my first sermon December 5th, 1971. This last year. And I told the class this morning, I said, I was so illiterate to the Bible, I just knew I loved Jesus. And I knew that he loved me and that he saved me. And I'm like, wow, I was so illiterate to the Bible. My brother was working at Kmart at the time, and he had a pastor working there. And I went down one day, and I had to preach the sermon at a youth meeting. And I went down one day, and I asked the pastor, I said, hey, man, I said, I got to preach a sermon. And he said, well, what do you want to preach on? I said, I want to preach on love. I said, where do I find love in the Bible? And he just kind of laughed at me. He said, man, you find love from Genesis to Revelation, brother. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I don't know if I can preach all that. Do you have anything specific for me that might help me out a little bit, brother? And he said, yeah, man. And he was a Church of God in Christ brother, and I love this guy. He was so precious to take a young man and just love him. And he said, yeah, man. He said, 1 Corinthians 13. So I said, oh, that's good. So I went home and developed my sermon and preached my first sermon December 5th, 1971, on love. And you know what? I'm still preaching on love. Because I want to tell you, nothing changes a life like love. And that's why this church, that's why I love this church, because we're not perfect. And I said, this is the church for imperfect people. So if you're not perfect, you should feel comfortable here, right? So, amen. You know, we might be perfect in our spirit, but sometimes we don't get it right out here. And you love people anyway when they don't get it right out here, right? Where am I at? So let us therefore come boldly through the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. We rejoice in our weakness because that's where God's strength is. Amen? You rejoice in the weakness because that's where God's strength is. Perez use that means the breaking of strength. And, you know, for the past 2 years, COVID-19, pandemic, and, you know, shown man's weakness and limitations. But man has seen a breaking of strength and also a need for God's power in their life, I believe. It is not necessarily a bad thing when your strength breaks. When strength is broken in an area, it means that's where God's strength comes in. Amen? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, amen. So 2 Corinthians, let's turn there if you will, brother, if you got that up there, amen. Hallelujah. He said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect. Where's strength made perfect at, guys? In weakness. Therefore, Paul said this, therefore, I will gladly boast in all my strength. No, in my what? Infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may what? Rest. How many want the power of Jesus resting on you? You know how the power of Jesus rests on you? When you take your hands off and you let God. When you just let go and you let God and say, God, you've got this, amen. And Lord, I take my authority here and I command this thing to take place. I command change to take place. When Kay was, you know, getting carjacked, trying to get carjacked by four guys, knocking on her door and say, hey, you just hit me back here. He slammed the back of her door, her car, and said, hey, you just hit me. And he came up and started knocking and said, come on, get out, get out. She said, by the authority of Jesus rose up within me. She said, I ain't getting out. That's baby. Listen, don't mess with my baby. Do not mess with my fam, right? I used to say, don't mess with my fam and my dog, but my dog's gone to heaven. All dogs go to heaven, by the way. Cats, I'm not for sure about. I'm sorry. But dogs do, amen. Man. I better shut up. I'm going to get myself in real trouble here this morning. I know I've got some cat lovers out here, amen. But God is so good, and when you take your authority and you know who you are in Christ and you know that your strength is not in yourself but it's from God, things begin to change in your life. Grace places your life back together. The Greek word for strength there is dunamis. God puts your life back into balance when you let go of things. And many times we want to hold on to things, right? We want to hold on to that worry. We think we can figure it out. We think we got this made. We can control this, man. And then all of a sudden we realize we can't control it and we got to let go of it. Why not let go of it first? Let go of it first. Just let go. Just give it to the Lord, amen? When you're in weakness, there is God's strength also. Amen? Hallelujah. So we just make the move from self-dependence to God-dependence. Self-dependence to God-dependence. You know, rest is not inactivity, but rest is spirit-directed activity. Rest is not inactivity, but rest is spirit-directed activity. There's a big difference. Amen? So we want to rest in God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Do we have that, brother? 1 Corinthians 15:10. Amen. He said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Turn to somebody and say, it's by grace. And his grace towards me was not in vain. No. His grace towards me is not in vain. Amen. But I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but what? Grace. Paul was grace spirit directed in his life. Amen. The grace of God, which was with me. God's grace is with you. Amen. And when the priest did it the right way, it's amazing. Because look at 1 Chronicles 15:26. When the priest did it the right way, something happened. So it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bulls and seven rams. What happened? God helped them. When they came into order, they came into his balance, God helped them. So when we have Jesus in the center of our life, God helps us. And not only does God help us, but God blesses us. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you have that slide, brother, of the Hebrew? Can we put that up that I gave you yesterday or tried to send you? I want you to see this in the Hebrew. Amen. And if he can bring it up, and we've had trouble doing this, but I hope you can. It's up here. Oh, okay. Great. I see it now. All right, let me back up. So this is our verse, 2 Samuel 6:11, right? And Hebrew always goes backwards or reads backwards, right? Yahweh of the house of Obed-Edom, the Gideonite, 3 months, and blessed Yahweh, blessed him, all and Obed-Edom. All that he had was blessed. I want to show you something here that is just really amazing, and if I can point to it, but right up here, if you look at 853, everybody see 853? You see those two words? Looks like an N and an X. Anybody see that? It's not interpreted. It's there, but it's not interpreted. And what it is, it's two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's the first letter, Aleph, and the last, Tev. Aleph Tev. So in the middle of this blessing, in the middle of the blessing was Aleph Tev. And it's just there. It's two letters, so there's no way to interpret it. But what it is it's the first and the last. Now, what's amazing in Hebrew writing, and as you go through Hebrew writing, like if you'd go to Genesis 1:1, and if you could look at Genesis 1:1, you'd see in the beginning was God, right? Remember the scripture in the beginning? Everybody remember Genesis 1:1? And if you look at that, you're going to see these two letters there again. Aleph Tev. You know what that is, and you know who that is. If you go over to the Greek, now Jesus didn't speak Greek. The New Testament is Greek, interpreted into Greek. The Old Testament's interpreted to Hebrew. This is the Old Testament and is the first and the last. But if you go over to the Greek New Testament, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And what the Bible was showing us is Jesus here in the middle of everything. Jesus in the middle of everything brings blessing. Amen? And when Jesus is in the middle, hallelujah, Aleph Tev, Alpha, Omega, I am the beginning and the end, he blesses our lives, and you cannot help but be blessed when Jesus is in the center of your life. Woo, let's stand this morning. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise the Lord. And if I was correct in studying and looking this up, I believe those words appear something like 70, those two alphabet letters appear something like 70,000 times in the Bible. Wow. Jesus is all over the Bible. He's in the middle of the Bible. Amen. He's all about us being blessed today. He's all about moving you from the tabernacle of Moses to the tabernacle of David, worship, praise, honor, and putting Jesus in the center of everything we do. Amen. Let's hold up our hands this morning. Let's make some confessions. If you're watching online, come on, confess with us, because Jesus is right there in the middle with you today. He is your healer. He is your provider. He loves you today. If you don't know him, right now you can receive him. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you that you love me so much. Thank you that you rose again. You confess that and you are saved today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So out of your mouth this morning, let's make some confessions. Say, Jesus, thank you. You're the center of my life. Oh, thank you. You're the wheel within the wheel. Hallelujah. You keep me balanced. You keep me on track. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed because of you. I lack nothing. Lord, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Lord. I am a blessed person today because of you. Thank you, Lord. You're the center of my life. You're my attraction. You're my love. And I give you the praise this morning and the honor. And Lord, thank you for balancing me. When I hit a rough spot, you put me back in balance. You keep my mind stayed on you. And therefore, I am in perfect. Perfect peace. Come on, somebody. Let's give him some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Before you go, we've had some people come in and a little bit late today, but before you go, shake hands with five people and tell them how blessed you are. Would you do that? God bless you. Amen.